Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Different conference, Cincinnati, comparable school to Memphis, goes to a different conference, is having an awesome year, one of their best years, and they're on
the outside. Also with a coach that was left for dead.
On the outside, they're on the outside looking in, so be careful what you wish for.
Like, everyone was like, Satterfield, what an there were people saying, like, that's the same thing as when Cincinnati hired Tuberville. Like,
yeah.
They got a good coach and they built around him.
And they still have it. I mean, anything could happen, right? Because when you're talking Vanderbilt, so do you think Vanderbilt, Georgia, or Ole Miss, who's most likely to fall out of there? I know you at this point, Ole Miss, they made it through 1-1 during the hardest stretch of their schedule. Don't discount the Egg Bowl, of course, coming up. Anything can happen.
All right, so Vandy has Texas this weekend. We still don't know about Arch. Arch got heavily concussed.
He's in the protocol.
Heavily concussed, so I just keep waiting for someone to finally deliver the knockout punch for Texas, but like it's not happened. Then they would get Auburn at home, yeah. Kentucky at home, and at Tennessee.
I mean, my goodness, they're set up. I mean, they're set up. They get the Tennessee game is their toughest competition, but they've won that game on much worse
years
than this one.
Yeah, I still don't think the Auburn thing is like – Auburn's defense is still good, and that's the other thing. Vandy won on Saturday. – If you watch the game, that was the first time that you're like, they're starting to not play that well. And I get it. I also am someone that was pretty high on Missouri. Like, I didn't think, like, I don't think there was, like, shame in that. But I did wonder if, like, all of these games are going to start to pile up. And, like, that's the question. It's like,
the physicality Vanderbilt has to play with, it's going to pile up at some point.
Their schedule, though, it is favorable.
It is.
It's a favorable finish. Agreed. As Ole Miss's schedule is towards for them as well. So it's going to be hard for some of the SEC teams that are in this to
The reason why I bring all that up is, okay, let's say Ole Miss winds up at 10-2. Okay, if they're starting to get compared to other teams that are at 10-2, that means now, A, we don't know, what is the final record of Oklahoma going to be? Oklahoma still has a road game against Alabama, a road game against Tennessee. They still have...
They have at Tennessee, at Alabama, Missouri,
LSU at home,
and LSU.
You know, one of the most interesting football games left to be played in the regular season is going to be, it's a non-conference game, but I'm very interested in it, is Georgia Tech.
Well, ooh, very much so, because then you wind up in the, what if Tech, now they're playing that game.
It's Thanksgiving weekend.
They're playing that game in the big body bins in Atlanta because Georgia Tech wanted to sell more tickets. What happens if we get to a spot where there seems to be this idea that if Georgia beats Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia Tech has to win the ACC to be in? What if the flip side is true? What happens if Georgia at 7-1 is already in the SEC championship game, like they were last year? They lose to Georgia Tech, and then what happens if Georgia Tech wins the game but then loses the ACC title game to, like, Miami, are they both in? Is one in? And, like, now does that kick out, like, one of these other SEC teams? Then the other thing I'm monitoring is BYU still hasn't lost.
Yeah.
Now, BYU's going to play Texas Tech, but what happens if we get to a spot where, let's say, because I believe BYU's got to go to Texas Tech. They got to go to Lubbock. But what happens if BYU loses in Lubbock, and then when they play at Jerry's World in the Big 12 title game, Texas Tech wins? Or that BYU beats Texas Tech? Like,
BYU,
are we going to knock both of them out?
They haven't lost yet, but, I mean, they do have to play Texas Tech. They do have to play TCU and Cincinnati that we mentioned. Like, since that's Cincinnati's way to maybe win their way into this, if it's at all possible. So BYU still got a tougher part of their schedule left, but no, I'm with you. This is an exciting time to be a college football, because if you look at a lot of the bracketology right now, we're talking opening round matchups with Miami and Oregon, two teams that were so dominant early on in the season, are now positioned to be in the opening round of this, and can they make their way back in? We know Ohio. It looks like Ohio State and Indiana are up there. A&M is going to be in the playoffs, but will they be in the top four? When it's all said and done, we just got A&M. I think we're going through a thing of like.
Well, I just think it mainly comes down to like how many of the ACs. Like, if you're a Tennessee fan, if you're an Ole Miss fan, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I think you want Miami to dominantly win the league, because now if you start to get into a situation where Georgia Tech is in a meaningless ACC title game in the sense of they're in no matter what, they're just playing for maybe a slightly better seeding. Like, that's not good. You don't need this situation in the Big 12 where all of a sudden, what if we have one loss Texas Tech and BYU, or one loss BYU, one loss Cincinnati, and then all of a sudden, like, they're playing for multiple bids. Well, now you, like, back yourself into, does this become a beauty contest? And if you're not sitting there at 11-1, like, are you going to start to get judged unfairly? Now, some of this might sort itself out when we see the playoff rankings next week, when they tell us, they finally show their work of how this strength of schedule thing's going to actually be weighted. But, like, I came into the year thinking a 10-2 Ole Miss team would be in, or a 10-2 SEC team would be in. I feel less strongly about that right now.
Based off of what everybody's record is,
correct,
what you're looking at. And because you've got a team like Tennessee and Oklahoma, both are with two losses, right? Like, if they win out, can they get in?
Right.
Now, that's we don't know. And they're the best two teams out from the SEC. I think 5 is a safe SEC number, but it's going to depend on how everybody else wins them through this home stretch.
I mean,
we've got 5 SEC teams would be in it right now. 5 teams from the
still
SEC.
Still got a month of ball left. That's the important thing. All right, let's
only 1 month. Depends how you look at it.
Let's take a quick break. We haven't talked some Grizzlies, so let's do that. We'll also welcome CJ Hurt later on this hour. We'll talk Grizzlies and more with him when he joins us a little bit later. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt's going to join us in about 20 minutes. Before we do any of that, let's get into the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. All right, boys, we had 2 games over the weekend. Nothing happened on Friday night. I was calling a football game, so I don't even know if the Grizzlies played, but I do know that they played on Saturday. They played Indiana, and they pretty much handled business. Obviously, Indiana very much up against it with all the injuries. But I think we can safely say, to me, y'all tell me if you agree, I think the 2 biggest early start lines or starting narratives are, number 1, through 3 games, Cedric Coward has given you everything you wanted to see and more. And then number 2, Ja Morant looks like he's having a lot of fun right now.
I can't disagree with either one of those. I think you're right on point. It's the story of the season. Grizzlies 2-1, and man, what a Saturday night to have to follow up, like you said, a Friday we do.
Needed to get the taste out of your mouth.
We don't need to talk about Friday, a historically bad effort with so many different numbers that you can reference of how bad that game was. But yeah, Coward, Calkins likes to offer you deals. Like, man, this deal, like, if you get this deal, I would take this deal. Like, this is exactly what you want to see from a guy who was nothing but potential going in, right? He has not played that many basketball games.
Well, I hope everyone that this would also be my other point with Cedric. If you found yourself trying to really get into preseason basketball to the degree like you were either trying to like show people that you were watching or whatnot, you just ruined the start of the season for yourself. Because so far, what Cedric has shown through the first three games looks completely different
right.
than what he looked like in the preseason. And you just kind of deny, like, you spend a couple of weeks, like, just kind of working yourself into a negative mindset, and it's like you kind of took away how fun this start has been.
Well, I mean, maybe it's happy. Maybe those people are happier. I don't know. But, yeah, he definitely did not have a preseason that gave you hope that the Grizzlies' dealings made much sense in the win now portion, because, like, the goal is, hey, hopefully Calgary would be good and sooner rather than later. But this is as soon as it gets. I mean, we're talking, we're at the very beginning of the season, and it's not that he's playing well. It's just the way he's playing. Like, it's just those intangibles. You could see it. You just see something special's happening out there.
Yeah, on top of that, it's like, I don't know. He just looks like he belongs. Like,
right.
Does that mean every single play is going to be perfect? It's like, no. But, like, we're not having to do the talk yourself into Zaire moments. It's like he looks like he belongs. Physically, from a strength perspective, he's not getting overwhelmed. Like, he's making things happen on defense. Like, what we were, Cobb and I were talking about, like, we've been kind of waiting for somebody since they got rid of Melton to be like the make something happen on defense. He's making a lot of things happen on defense. And then I don't think you can ignore a huge part of this. There's no question to me, it's like long-term, at least of the season, the most important aspect that we're seeing is the way that Ja Morant is playing right now. It is exactly what I think you would hope for during the offseason. We talked about it, like, would the China trip be good for him? Because it was a lot of love. It was a lot of, you know, look at how many shoes Ja's selling. It was kind of like a make him feel good moment. And so far he's showing it, although George had to let me know that Ja was getting into it on Twitter over the weekend. Or did it start today?
No, that was today.
That's just today. That's a road trip.
That was like half an hour before
Some shoot around Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
What will end first, the government shutdown or Jeffrey's Twitter shutdown? We will find out. But the...
Ooh.
Which one? Do you think there should be odds on that.
Okay, isn't there a shot the shutdown ends this week?
I need
Charles will let us know, obviously, tomorrow on the Jeff Dawkins show.
Yes, of course.
It's getting to historic levels, so we'll see.
I thought there was a chance that this week it could end. I do not think there's a chance I get my Twitter account back this week.
But, I'm with Jeffrey on this. The Twitter hacking.
I'm at the point where now I'm wondering if I ever get it back.
Don't get great response when you complain that you're...
Correct.
You're,
like, in fact, the response that you keep getting from the people at X is...
We're checking on this.
Your case is in queue. Nothing is updated.
I mean, we
you reached out to us, like, nothing has changed. And I was like, but I'm actually, like, showing you what I think happened.
Right. And the staff, we know it got cut there when that was acquired. So there's definitely less people working, real people. It's all being run by Grok. Couldn't you just go down to the
supercomputer
facilities and knock on the door and see if we could get something done?
You would think having an ex presence here might be helpful, but like, no, it's not.
Like, your FedEx package gets lost. Like, you're expedited, they're going to find it faster, but not in this case.
If you're at the super hub, there's a better chance of having something happen. I don't think it matters in terms of, because it seems like everyone that is in charge of security issues are still in San Francisco or they're out in the Bay Area.
So Cedric Coward is averaging 19 points per game.
Correct. He had a 27 spot on Saturday.
70.4% shooting from the floor. I mean, it is awesome. The Grizzlies tonight, of course, play Golden State, which is going to be an interesting look at, very early West Coast, late season tip on the West Coast tonight. But
I told George last week, one of the more disheartening aspects of the early part of the season is that the Warriors have looked good.
But we'll say tonight, and also it's a great day to know that the Grizzlies are playing on this day. What did we call it earlier? What is today?
It's the Sports Equinox.
The Sports Equinox. So we've got all four pro major sports leagues playing today, including a World Series game, including a Memphis Grizzlies game. So the Grizzlies and Warriors, if you remember, they finished last season with the same exact record, the 48,
correct,
34, and played in the play-in game. So this is a true, like, let's see. I mean, we obviously know the Warriors are playing great. The Grizzlies or having at least some players. There's potential of this thing can all mesh together the way that, we were hopeful that it would. So this should be fun tonight in a big week. Of course, Lakers later on in the week, the undermanned Lakers. So
we know no Bron.
Yep.
Did we get a Luka?
Doncic out at least 1 week with a finger sprain and a lower left leg contusion, and then four even more immediate tonight. And this is reposted from DeMichael, our guy there. The Warriors, this is a front end of a back-to-back Al Horford not playing tonight against the Grizzlies.
Okay, and so we know for the Grizzlies, I presume the injury report's still going to be the same.
Exact same.
Vince is out, Ty Jerome's out, Scotty's out, BC's out, and Edie's out.
Yes.
We haven't added anyone else.
No one is questionable. No updates to the Grizz injury report ahead of the game. It is just those five that remain out. They did add Charles Bassey using the DPE.
So
Grizz is playing every other day this week for those trying to keep track on your plans. Every other day.
So I know the NBA doesn't want exotic props out there right now. I would like to have seen some odds on Grizzlies being the first team to get the exemption for number of injuries to sign an additional player like that. I feel like that would have been a free space. So the Grizzlies are signing Charles Bassey. For those that followed college basketball, Bassey was the big recruit that somehow wound up with Slick Rick at Western Kentucky.
Somehow.
That was a Slick Rick special.
I mean, I'm surprised he's not on someone's G League team. He's only 24.
Well, he is
now. He actually played with Philly during the playoffs last year. It felt like he had a chance maybe to make Atlanta, and then Atlanta wound up with a crowd.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of the other negative. Like, I really, really, really need Zach Edey to get back. Because I just think the problems that you see inside, like, it's funny because DeMichael and Gabe were talking off the air. I don't think either of them will care about me sharing this. But on Friday night, they were just talking about the matchup with the Heat. And they're like, why would you not just have Ware and Bam on the floor and force the Grizzlies to have to play big? And lo and behold, that's exactly what they did. And we saw, like, it was just a terrible matchup.
Great. So we're blaming injuries for Friday night.
We're blaming a bad matchup and a lack of front court depth, but also, like,
yeah, I was gonna say bad matchup too in general, because their other option, because obviously I was working the game, talking a lot to all three of the broadcasters for Miami. The other option, so the switch to having both Bam and Ware on the floor at the same time, that was super last minute. The other option though was having Adebayo at the five and Jovic at the four. Well, here's the kicker. For a four, Jovic is a really damn good shooter.
Yes.
That is very bad as well for the Grizzlies, and that came up multiple times throughout the game.
Well, I think the other concern right now is, like, I've not seen anything that makes me believe, like, Jock Landell is going to play while Edie's gone.
Yeah.
But I thought coming into the season there was a decent chance that, other than, like, being an injury or, like, a guy that gets pushed up in the rotation because of injuries or whatnot, I thought there was a decent chance, like, Jock could start for the first month of the year and then basically be out of the rotation by the end of the year. I still think that's very much on the table.
Okay, so it's the Sports Equinox tonight, which is great that the Grizzlies have this. That's it's great for the West Coast tip, so that's late. So, right, you can kind of enjoy some of the other action on this, day.
I got to be completely honest with you,
very
though.
Rarely. You're not going to enjoy.
I was thinking this is entirely too soon to, like, have the – The 9 o'clock tip.
I mean, the season's here.
Like, I could probably deal a little bit better with it if it were midweek, but there's something about, like, man, do you know how exhausting it was to sit on my couch and watch football from 11 a.m. until, like, 1 a.m. on Saturday?
Sure.
Now,
but
thanks be to the commish for not giving us an international game, but then to have to get on the couch from noon until 10:30 last night and to sit there and watch football. And then now I'm going to have to sit there and pace myself with Monday Night Football, the World Series, and then at 9 o'clock, then I got to tip it up for the team that I hate the most. Like, I'm just not ready for that. That's a long time to have to sit around. And then Draymond's going to – I saw this last night on Sunday Night Football. Draymond's going to be on one of those NBC comedies that St. Denis or whatever. And Aaliyah just looks at me. She's like, you're just going to have to hate watch that, aren't you? Like, it's like, it looks like.
I didn't see that that was happening. That's
yeah. He's like a what? Guest star on that. I was like, well, hopefully he dies. But,
they,
you know.
Hey, come on now. They,
in the movie, of course, on the show.
Yes, on the show.
Yeah, yeah. In storyline only.
I think it's a comedy, I thought. Is that not a comedy?
It is.
I don't know. They, but we've got.
Because it happens in.
You know, when I think of funny, I think of NBC this last two decades.
The four, you're going to have all of your TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be able to have each sport? All you're going to have, are you going to do that for a moment to take it in,
yeah.
to soak it in tonight with the Equinox happening?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Like, what's the hockey game I need to watch tonight? What is this?
Oh.
Checking.
George, what do we got on the slate?
World Series is Monday Night Football.
No, okay, like, we don't have good games.
Hockey sharp has not been sharp early, so I'm 0-2 in
hockey. It's real obvious. NBA, you're going to consume the Grizzlies at 9 o'clock. You've got Monday Night Football. We know we've got Taylor Swift's team playing, right? Tonight?
Yeah. Yep.
And then we've got...
But we don't have Jaden Daniels, so we have Marcus Mariota versus...
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And we've got the World Series. Are we all cheering for Canada in this? What's happening?
Oh, yeah. Right?
Canada. Okay, and so Canada, they love hockey as well. Oh my goodness, what a day for the Canadians.
We got some bad games tonight in the NHL. This should just be the Equinox, kind of in name only. I wouldn't watch either of these games.
Oh wow.
You have the St. Louis Blues visiting the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then an in-division rivalry matchup between the Bruins and the Ottawa Senators.
Tough for Ottawa.
We cheer for America in that one?
Please. Well, it's the Bruins. So it's Boston.
Ottawa's Ontario, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the capital.
Isn't it 45 minutes from Toronto? Aren't they all Jays fans?
I thought they're in. Well, they don't have another team to root for, so.
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Vancouver's now Jays fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
Montreal. I'm sure it's the local.
The country's
they're
team.
Just waiting on the Expos to come.
Canada's
back.
Team.
I mean, we did get what we asked for, which was we wanted a game one win, and
like, aren't they in LA though? This
yeah, it's back game? To it's yeah. back to LA. But also, it's like, if I'm going to have to send a team that I don't necessarily believe can knock off the Death Star, if I got Scherzer going in game three, I feel a little better about it.
We do have Scherzer going today.
Yeah.
Scherzer.
Like, if someone's
going
to be insane
now.
Enough to do it, like, it's him.
Yeah, so we've got three straight here for the World Series in L.A.
Does anybody like 2-3-2? I thought we all collectively agreed like that's a better format.
2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought we did. But...
It feels like the three games in a row at home is less of an advantage than we used to think it was. Because it just feels like sports have gotten so ridiculous. The odds of you winning three straight with a home field advantage just doesn't feel that likely. It feels like you're just wasting an extra game.
For what it's worth, it is very baseball though. Think about it. Away series, home series, away series. Because they have two-game series throughout the regular season just sprinkled in.
Baseball does not listen to the feedback. Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's on brand.
They also don't listen to anything.
They don't
care. It's not that they don't listen. There's a difference.
I mean, as many games as you play, we need all of these series to be seven-game series, honestly. I just wish they'd listen to my thing and figure out the...
Stop playing playoff games on Saturday and Sunday.
That's a great suggestion.
Monday through Friday because I lock in.
Game seven will be Saturday night if we get to it.
It helped that on Saturday night when the baseball game was going, we didn't have a hyper-competitive, like, LSU was getting, like, after the third, like, halfway into the third quarter, I'm sitting there, like, looking for any way out. Like, can I still bet A&M? Like, because Tennessee was beating the absolute doors off of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Who else do we have going at that time? Like, even Arizona State and Houston was not super competitive.
What else did we have?
Here's your problem for baseball. Like, it's been an exciting postseason, but they're going to finish here if it's more likely going to be six games, right? So we've got game six happening. It's going to be six games. It's going to be on Halloween.
Yeah.
Game seven is on Saturday night. So, like, they're going to finish with a kind of a not with the attention of the sports fan when they could.
They
could strategically try to schedule some of these.
What day of the week was? Didn't they learn their lesson?
Tuesday and Wednesday action.
What day of the week was Cubs Indians game seven in 2016? I feel like that was a Monday, wasn't it? I felt like it's like.
It was an off day. It was a weird day of the week. I remember that.
I mean, it's hard because you got to do it fit in. I mean, they're doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week is what we've got some baseball. So at least
what do we have?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
What do we have Saturday night? Game. All right. So Saturday night we got Oklahoma at Tennessee. Because I mean, let's be real. Wishful thinking. Like let's.
Oklahoma, Tennessee is a big.
Yeah, football. But I'm saying it's more wishful thinking that the series is going seven.
Correct. Yeah.
So that we would Saturday. Also have at night. So starting in the 6 p.m. window, we've got South Carolina at Ole Miss. We have.
I mean, Tennessee, Oklahoma just got me. It got me excited. I forgot that was happening because that's really going to decide the season for one of those two teams.
Oklahoma at Tennessee, USC at Nebraska. We got Kentucky at Auburn. And then Cincinnati, Utah, like, it's not the world's most massive window, but it's like, there are games that I want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah,
but let's be honest, Jeffrey. College football nation and baseball nation, geographically in different parts of the country.
Yeah, but like...
For the most part.
I just don't...
I know there's the crossover, and especially the ages of fandom and stuff.
I'm more thinking about it from baseball's perspective. College football is the number two sport in the country.
Correct. If they want to get the attention, I don't know how you schedule to make sure you're playing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday only, but that's what they would have to do. Or if they could do Friday.
Like, they don't have to play it consecutively. Like, just take a weekend off. Everybody's like, cool, we'll see you next week.
They should be smart and don't play on Halloween. Don't play on Saturday or Sunday during football season. You play on Monday night. I think Monday night's fine because I think with the one game with football tonight, of course, we got the Equinox happening. But like, I think you're complimenting the sports
Correct.
Night and making people plan their night around sports when you're on a Monday night. But
it's also there's only one football game,
right? And it could be terrible,
right?
Or it could be interesting. The
there's
baseball,
a decent chance that the football game could be terrible.
There's the back button still on remotes. Is there a back button still? I don't think there are. My remote does not have a back
last
button. Does yours have a last channel button?
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some more Grizzlies and more sports with, of course, CJ Hurt next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
CJ Hurt is Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at Conradicalness. CJ, through three games, for you, what is the biggest story so far of the Grizzlies season?
For me, it's that John Jaren have played all three games. This is something that I don't think would have happened in years past. Certainly, just taking into account how everything has happened this season. You got the first game, Ja gets the
ankle.
Weird ankle thing. Not that he sprained it or anything like, well, he might have sprained it. Let me take that back. But it was just a weird cutting, making a play. Somebody steps on the outside of his ankle. It very clearly rolls up, and there is some discomfort there. And I feel like, you know, I can say this right now, and we'll never know because that coaching staff isn't here. But I feel like Ja would not have played Friday. And I don't think Jaren would have played on Saturday, but you look up and they played Friday, they played Saturday, they played in three of the three games so far this season. If the Grizzlies are going to be any good this year, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to perform, and you can't perform at a high level if you're being held out for precautions and things of that nature. So I think that's really, really good.
No, I think that's a fair point, because the first time that they even played opening night together was all the way back in the 2021 opener. I think that was a Cleveland game. And I think you're right, because honestly, I expected Ja was going to sit one of the two games, and then you look at tonight, they're both going to be in the lineup tonight unless something unforeseen happens. I think that's a huge part of it. The other thing we were obviously talking about is, you know, I don't know if you could really hope for a whole much better of a debut than what Cedric Coward's actually given the Grizzlies. When you look at it, like, obviously it's three games, it's a sample size. He's shooting the basketball well. That's a huge part of it. But he was somebody who was efficient shooting the ball coming into the year. What do you think right now, like, what is a reasonable expectation for the fan base to set for him this year?
This year?
Yeah. This season alone. Just thinking about this season, not in terms of, like, the grander picture.
I think for him to be a contributor on this team, I think somebody around the, I don't know, 12 to 16 points per game, as well as, you know, 6 or 7 rebounds, as well as being somebody who is a true force in transition. He's tremendous in transition, and somebody who can show from the non-statistical side of things. Let's slow that down a little bit. Somebody who can show that he can guard dudes on the perimeter, and he can guard bigger players on the interior. Somebody who shows that he can guard positions 2 through 4, and maybe even a 1 through 4 type of situation on switches and things of that nature. I think if he shows that is a reasonable expectation for what he is. Now, if he's shooting 6 for 6 from 3 and going off for 27 points,
yeah,
the reasonable expectations change with how well he's continuing to play. But I think that is hard for rookies. We saw Jalen Wells bust onto the scene, and we've seen other rookies for this Grizzlies team bust onto the scene. I'm just going to use Jalen Wells as the example because we saw him last year do it and play really, really well through maybe about mid-January, and then that rookie wall hit.
Yeah.
So seeing how he handles the rookie wall, because I feel fairly confident that it's going to hit because it hits for everybody. Seeing how he handles that, and how he deals with the ups and downs of his first NBA season, I feel like we'll know more about him come the end of the season. But, yo, what you want from a lottery pick is you want them to pop at some point in the season. You want them to do something at some point during the season to make you perk up a bit and say, ah, see that right there? That's why we drafted him right there. And so far, Cedric has done that first three games of the season.
Yeah, the way he popped the night after one of the worst nights in franchise history. That was great timing for him to pop off there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It shows a bit of resilience, shows that they aren't going to let mistakes from, and he's not going to let mistakes from one game bleed over into the next game. So, yeah, that's good stuff for Cedric. And you just hope that the Grizzlies do hit on that, because that's a lottery pick. You traded a lot to get him. Indirectly, you traded Desmond Bane to get that player right there. Right. You traded Desmond Bane, got picks. You used those picks, or some of those picks, excuse me, to move up in the draft and take that. And if that hits for you, if that becomes somebody who is a real reliable third option and somebody who is versatile, you know, you think about what makes Oklahoma City such a good team is that, yo, J-Dub is out there. He is versatile, man. J-Dub is playing the 3 in some lineups. He's playing the 4 in others. He's guarding the 2 in some. He's switchable. He's a high-level defensive player, and he can go out there and get you buckets in the flow of the offense, and he can get you buckets in a one-on-one situation. If Cedric Coward can become something like that, similar to that, and you keep John, you keep Jaren, like that's a formidable threesome right there. And you get Coward on a bit more of a cost controlled contract because he is a rookie under his first deal.
I mean, we were told, it's one of those things, like this past weekend I felt like we saw it, right? We've been told, oh, Cedric, all the comparisons of Coward could be this, he could be that.
and we finally got to see it with our own eyes, and I think that's really has justified the movements and the picks for anybody who was still doubting it or concerned about it. It's like, all right, I see why the Grizzlies did what they did and why they went with this guy. So
it justified it three games in.
Right.
Right. That, consistency is the key here. Tony Roten got a couple of triple doubles, right? Like, you got to be consistently.
Don't forget DeLon Wright. Like, remember that, like, DeLon Wright triple double watch? Yeah.
There's a long list of dudes. Yeah. They have been great in spurts, right? In certain little sections of their rookie year or whatever. But, like, to combine that with the high-profile pick that he was at. Like, I mean, you compared him to Jalen Wells, but, like, Wells, let's be honest, he was a second-round pick. He wasn't supposed to be what Coward is supposed to be, right? So, like, when you have that pressure and that hype behind it, even though his hype is not huge, it's hype of a lottery pick, but, like, there is extra pressure to and a higher ceiling that he has got to perform to.
Yeah, he's got to be it. I'm done with potential with this iteration of the team. If you're telling me that you've got John Jaren healthy, well, okay, let's see what that amounts to, and everybody's got to be able to contribute. Don't talk to me about what they may be in the future. Tell me what they are right now. And right now, Cedric Coward is a good NBA-level basketball player three games into his NBA career. Now, he's got to continue to do that. He's got to continue to be that before I get really, really excited about him. But I do understand it's hard not to get excited about somebody folks are telling you has the measurements of Kawhi Leonard and is out there going 6 for 6 from 3-1 game and looking like a transition monster in another game, right? Like, I understand why you let your mind and your fandom engulf you into believing that this guy is the answer to the question that the Grizzlies have had for quite some time. Where it is, hey, outside of before, well, once when Desmond Bain was there, outside of Desmond Bain, what are you going to get on the perimeter from the wing spots and from the non-point guard spots on the roster? If Cedric Coward can come in and solidify that and be an elite perimeter player, then I understand like why you would believe that Cedric Coward is all this and a bag of chips. I think he's really, really good right now. I think he's pretty good right now. I need more consistency. I need more than just three games. But I understand being high on him in this moment.
How should we feel about the front court until Zach gets back?
Concerned? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. Yeah, I was saying, it's just
until Zach and Brandon come back.
Yeah, it's like there's just no real answers, right? I mean, I guess we'll see like what Bassey can provide, but. Man, it's like I just find myself counting down the days.
You're down two of your three best centers. You're down your starting center, and when Brandon Clark comes back, your backup center. Like, there's not a whole lot of NBA teams. If that is the case for any NBA team, down a starting center and down the backup center, there are going to be some struggles for any NBA team. And so until they come back, you know, it's going to be a bit of a struggle, particularly on the interior. What has helped them a lot has been Cedric Coward. One, his understanding of where to be defensively is really, really noticeable, and it has allowed for somebody like Asante Aldama to come through and get his hand on a couple of balls and block some shots as well as Cedric Coward blocking shots. Jitty has helped a ton in that the most recent game from an activity standpoint, getting his hands on a couple of defensive rebounds. But until those two get back, it is going to have to be a rebound by committee approach. You can't just bank on your big guy to go out there and just gobble up 9, 10, 11, 12 rebounds. It's going to have to be, all right, Jaren, at the very least, pitch your body on your man and don't let him get it and everybody else come in and chase down these defensive boards. I think Landale has done a pretty okay job of getting extra possessions on the offensive side of things, getting a couple offensive rebounds. But until those two get back, man, rebounding is going to have to be a focus. You can't just sleepwalk your way to a board if you're the Grizzlies right now.
All right, then finally, as we kind of close out the weekend, for you, what did you think was the biggest moment of college football this weekend?
Biggest moment of college football. oh gosh, one moment is not going to do this weekend any sort of
justice. What do you think?
College football, it never does it. But I guess you go LSU.
Yeah.
Fall in Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Texas A&M winning in LSU at night. You're not supposed to be able to do that and do that comfortably. Do that as dominant as they did it. It led to LSU firing their coach. And now I believe Texas A&M is a really good football team and a team that is poised to make a deep playoff push and potentially win the SEC. You go to Memphis and you say Memphis knocking off USF, pitting themselves back squarely in the American race and in the race for the college football playoff. That one comes to mind. Michigan beat the hell out of Michigan State. That always warms my heart. Like, I love that. Paul Bunyan stays where Paul Bunyan's supposed to be in Ann Arbor. It's a whole lot of Vanderbilt. Is Vanderbilt, is it going to be Texas A&M and Vanderbilt in the SEC championship game?
No.
Like, can you imagine
I mean,
that?
I think Georgia and Bama and still Ole Miss have something to say about that. But, I mean, I do think Vanderbilt this weekend can finally put us out of our – are we still going to have to pay attention to Texas misery this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely they will. Absolutely. How crazy would it be for Vanderbilt to get to a SEC championship game before Ole Miss? That's insane.
It's the power of Diego, baby.
But to your point about Texas A&M, what they did this past weekend, there was no moment that had so much impact on the present and the future of college football than what happened in Death Valley. Unbelievable.
So the SEC has LSU open, Florida open, Arkansas open. Is there somebody else who's open?
More to come, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, I think at a certain point, Auburn's probably going to be opened.
There's a chance South Carolina could be open. Beamer could look around and say, all right, it's hot here. I need to get out of here. Virginia Tech is right there. And so he could say, all right, Virginia Tech.
What is Kentucky
going
to do? You know, I mean.
Kentucky's going to keep Stoops. What do you mean, what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, there's now the thought that they might just eat the buyout. Everybody else, it's hot in the streets, man. Just eat the buyout.
Eat the buyout. You're Kentucky. You're a basketball school. What do you mean? But no, Kentucky is interesting because I feel like Oklahoma State had this situation.
Yes, 100%.
Where it was before this year. Like, are we going to be in a Big 12 championship game? I mean, probably not. Are we going to beat Oklahoma? I mean, probably not. Well, are we going to be a 7-8-win team? Yeah, that's enough. We'll take it, you know? And that's how Gundy was able to skate for as long as he did. Oklahoma State was never a real contender under Mike Gundy that I can think of, but they were solid. They were good.
They almost made the playoff like one of the years where I think maybe the year Cincinnati got in, they had a play at the goal line that they could have gotten in. But, I mean, to your point, like, that was one of those teams that won a bunch of one-score games. Like, they came out on the right end of one-score games. But, and it honestly, it probably masked a lot of program deficiencies that they'd had for a while by having a better record than probably they should have.
I can't think of a BCS. I'm sure that they've gone. They went to one. I can't think of a BCS bowl game that Oklahoma State went to. I can't think of
they beat Stanford
playoff bowl game they went to.
They had a couple of Fiesta Bowls, and then there was the one year in 2011 where they were the number one team and they went to Ames, Iowa and got Iowa stated.
Yeah, everyone, listen, that's going to happen.
That's 15 years ago. Yeah, 16 years ago.
Yeah, so, right, like I think that some programs just – I want to say accept what they are. Like, hey, it's Kentucky football. Can we have once every three seasons, two every five seasons, can we get, you know, 8 or 9 wins and be in the mix for something there? And if we can, that's great. And we'll take it. If we can get 2 out of 5 years, be in the 8 or 9 wins, be in the mix for something, and then 2 of the other years be around 6-6, 7-5, and then one of those years will allow you to be bad, that's fine. We'll take it. So I don't think they're in any real rush to move on from from Coach Stoops.
I love how we're breaking down Kentucky football because we know Calipari's listening. Calipari's in town. He's driving around, you know, tuning in at 929. I know Calipari's listening. He wants that Kentucky football talk.
Oh, gosh.
That's what everybody was thinking. All right, CJ, you're the best, man. Thank you.
All right, man. I'll let you.
CJ Hurd of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. A lot of good candidates this weekend for the Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. But I'm going to have to go with Ken Carmen. He is a Cleveland sports radio host. For those that saw yesterday, Dylan Gabriel took a pretty bad safety, and this was his take. I'm sorry, that's a worse safety than Dan Orlovsky. It's not going to get the run that Dan Orlovsky got running out of bounds, but we can get an Orlovsky on this week and ask him which was worse, because this one was worse. I cannot believe he just did this. I just watched it again. This is way worse than Orlovsky. Let everybody know. Orlovsky was still looking for somebody to throw to. Anybody. He just happened to run out of the back of the end zone. He was getting chased by Jared Allen. So he has that going for him. Dylan just turns around and throws it to the sideline. That's a I don't belong in the league play. I get it. Jared Allen's chasing, but like he ran out of the back of the end zone. Like that's just a different thing. Like I don't know if it's the worst one. I'm going to throw up worse than that. All right, boys. Good show.
Happy
good
sports
Monday.
Equinox.
Happy sports equinox to all. If you missed anything, we up on the podcast. Maybe, fingers crossed, after the program. We've been having some
issues. It won't be on Twitter.
It won't be on my Twitter. I can guarantee you that. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.